Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Well, for some reason, we're not getting... You're just going to have to trust me. I have no idea what the glitch is here. The numbers are kind of thin this morning. We have some folks out of town. Others have some health issues and so forth. Keep all these folks in our prayers. We have some visitors with us this morning. We're very thankful for your participation with us this morning in our worship of the Lord. We have, over the course of this year, each month, been presenting one lesson on the subject of marriage and family. We have been covering a wide range of topics within that general theme over the last several months. We're kind of coming down the home stretch now. And today we're going to take up another subject that bears on the general idea of marriage and family, but it's a topic that doesn't generally get much attention, although I think that it should. And that is what we see here in this psalm. If you have your handout with you, your order of service, you might look at that again more closely. You'll recall that the author here is describing the reward or the benefit to the person who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, verse 1. And verse 4, again, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. He's describing, intervening verses, the reward of a happy and healthy family life. In verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. But what I want us to do is jump all the way down to verse 6, the last verse in this psalm, and I want us to notice another benefit or reward of a life that is well lived according to the pattern of the Lord, and that is, may you see your children's children. And we have a word for that in our English language. We call it grandchildren, right? One of the greatest blessings that a man can have from living a life well, the way the Lord would have us to live that life, is to have the joy of being able to see our grandchildren, to embrace them, to play with them, to enjoy all the happiness and fun that comes with having those little ones. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. What makes grandparenting such a great reward, as this passage describes? Someone has expressed it that grandparenting is all the fun of parenting without any of the headaches. Now, that's perhaps an oversimplification, but I think it does capture the idea. One author, Susan Bosack, in her book, How to Build the Grandma Connection, put it this way, and I quote, "Grandparents can just enjoy children for who they are in the moment. The love of a grandparent is often freer, more unconditional, and far less psychologically complex than a parent's love," unquote. And that's true. And I think you can probably see evidence for this in your own experience as a human being, a member of your particular family. Look back on your childhood years and think of some of the most pleasant, the happiest experiences or memories that you have of your childhood. And odds are better than even that it involves a grandparent, right? There's just something about the bond, the connection between a child and that child's grandparents that is unlike any other connection that we have. And those of us who are older, who are in a position now of being able to enjoy the experience of having grandchildren, we need to look at this as something more than just a reward for a life well lived. It is that, but it's more. It's an opportunity for us to, I should say, put a capstone on the life that we have lived. It's sort of the final act of the play by which we tie up all the loose ends and we bring everything to a fitting conclusion. And we do that through our relationship with our grandchildren. The benefits of this kind of connection goes both ways. Kids, it's not just us as grandparents who get a benefit from this relationship. The kids likewise have a benefit because they have the advantage now of having some kind of intergenerational connection. In other words, the grandchildren have a sense that they belong to something much bigger than themselves. Their own immediate family with mom and dad and the siblings, that's important. It contributes to this sense of stability, but the fact that there is now a third generation involved that they feel connected to, it helps them understand that they are a continuation of a long line of history. And it's that relationship they have with their grandparents that helps those kids have this sense of belonging to something bigger than themselves. But in order for us to be good grandparents, it requires, like every other activity in life, it requires a great deal of wisdom. And what I'd like for us to do this morning is to talk about two things. Number one, how we can do the grandparenting wrong. And number two, how we can do the grandparenting right. Very simple outline. So let's start by talking about the wrong way to do the grandparent thing. And the complication that we have to consider here is that there's an intervening generation that is in play. We can't ignore that. The intervening generation, of course, being our adult children who are the parents of the grandkids, right? We can't forget them. In fact, they're the key that really makes this whole thing work. God's plan is for the parents, that intervening generation, to be the primary caregivers of our grandchildren. And anything that we might do as grandparents that would in any way undermine their role as the parents of those little toddlers is how to do the grandparenting wrong. We must be very careful that we do not interfere in any way or undermine their role as the parents in this relationship. There are two ways in which we can undermine the role of the parents, our children, in the raising of their little ones. The first way that we can undermine their work is by interfering in their role as the authority figure in the child's life. Look at several passages in the Bible, and it's pretty obvious where the Lord intends the primary role for the authority figure being in a child's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. It's the parents' responsibility to lay up for and provide for the children. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Here, the emphasis is upon the father and the mother as being the source of instruction and guidance and direction to the child. As a grandparent, I need to keep that in mind. It's that child's mom and dad who have the primary responsibility of providing instruction. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, not grandfathers, not grandmothers, it's the fathers and father's lieutenant, the mothers, who are to bring up the children in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we can multiply passages here, but I think we've made the point. As a grandparent, I need to recognize that the primary responsibility for the training and instruction and upbringing of my children falls upon the shoulders of my adult children, or at least one of my children in that particular relationship. In anything that I do, that might interfere with their authority is poor grandparenting. I cannot jump in the middle of things that is going to undermine my adult child's ability to raise the children correctly. And you've probably seen this sort of thing or been guilty of it yourself. How many times as grandparents do we see our adult children making decisions or doing things or acting in such a way or failing to act in such a way that will accomplish what we believe to be the greatest good for the little ones? Isn't it very tempting to just step in and say, no, that's not right. You need to do it this way or do it that way or do it some other way. Change this, modify that. I would do it this way. Careful, especially if you offer that kind of critique in the presence of the little children. What are you doing? You're destroying, in the minds of the little ones, the credibility of their parents as being the source of authority in their lives. If you start criticizing or judging or rebuking your adult children, the parents of your grandchildren, especially in the presence of the little ones, you're just destroying the bond that ought to exist between the parents and the child. That's poor grandparenting. Another way that we can do it wrong is by meddling in details that we're not familiar with. And let's stop and think here for just a little bit. We're talking now about grandparents. But you're well aware of the fact, are you not, that those little grandkids of yours actually have another set of grandparents in most cases, right? So there's me and my spouse. We're a set of grandparents to these little ones, but I have to stop and reflect upon the fact those little ones have another set of grandparents over here, and they have their own unique relationship with that other set of grandparents. And of course, the parents in the relationship, my child, but there's another child there that is part of that parental level, right? The point I'm making is it's very easy for us to inject ourselves into a situation or issues in that family relationship and ignore the other dynamics that are in play. There's another set of grandparents. There's another parent that I'm not directly related to. And all of these have their own perspectives on things. And so those parents of my grandchildren are in the rather unenviable position of having to balance the perspectives or the influences of multiple sources in their work as parents. And if I just inject myself into the middle of this family and start dictating, well, I think you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do something else, I don't like the way you're doing this. If we start acting in such a ham-handed way in our children's raising of the grandchildren, it's just like throwing grenades into the middle. All we're doing is just blowing the thing up. We're meddling in things that we do not have the right to meddle in. Now, am I saying that we should never offer any kind of suggestions or advice on how to raise the grandchildren? Certainly there are places for that. As a parent to my adult children, there are still times where it is appropriate for me to offer advice or counsel on how things are going and, you know, perhaps better ways of looking or approaching a certain problem. Do that offline. Take the parent, your child, aside privately away from the kids and as gently and as tactfully as possible, just talk about it. Yeah, there's a place, there's a time for that kind of counsel to be given. But be very, very careful how you do it and where you do it and in what kind and before what kind of audience you do it. Be careful that you do not undermine the role of the parents as the primary caregivers of your grandchildren. As much as you feel a sense of ownership of those little kids and how much you feel like you know how it ought to be done, God did not place the responsibility of raising those grandkids on your shoulders. It's not your job. And as grandparents, we need to know where that boundary is and be careful not to cross it. Let the parents do their thing in raising their children. And let me just put it to you this way. If you're a grandparent, think back to those early years when you first had your little ones, when you first became a parent yourself. Did you not feel a tremendous sense of ownership, of responsibility, this great burden that came on your shoulders? I have these little ones now. I'm responsible for these. And I've got to do this job right. Now, hopefully, you were wise enough to seek outside guidance and help from others, including maybe your parents, and that's fine. But you knew, this is on me. Let your children experience that same sense of ownership. Those little grandchildren of yours belong to them, not you. Let them learn how to be good parents. And you can offer whatever input is appropriate at the appropriate time. Okay, so that is very quickly how to do the grandparenting thing wrong. Let's turn our attention now, in a more positive vein, to how to do the grandparenting thing right. You'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 9, Moses talks about the law of the Lord, commandments of the Lord, and he advises the Israelites, take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And notice this, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So as a grandparent, I do have some sense of responsibility for instructing, teaching, guiding my grandchildren in some way, recognizing the boundary that exists between my role as a grandparent and the parents. Still, there is some sense in which I, as a grandparent, can be active in teaching or guiding my grandchildren. What does that involve? What does that look like in practical terms? I want to suggest for your consideration four things. The first thing that grandparents need to do is to communicate effectively with the parents. Look in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. Now let me pose a question to you. When does that stop? At what point in my life can I say, okay, I've listened to enough counsel, I've received enough instruction, now that door's closed. I don't need any more instruction. I don't need any more counsel. I know it all. Will we ever reach that point in our life? I hope not. Now plug that proverb into the context that we're talking about here. I have to acknowledge the fact that as a grandparent, I need instruction. I need counseling. Sometimes from my own children. Now I know that sounds completely backwards from the way it ought to be. But part of humility is, as an older person, recognizing that I do not know it all. And sometimes my children, my adult children, in the raising of their children, they may have some insights, some perspectives on some things that I don't see. I don't get it. And it is important for me as a grandparent to keep an open mind and to be willing to listen to my children, to talk. Now, as we said earlier, there are occasions where it is appropriate for me as a grandparent to sit down with my children, adult children, and talk to them about the raising of the children. But at the same time, I need to be willing to listen to what my kids are telling me. Dad, there's something here you don't understand, you're not seeing. Now, I admit, from personal experience, I admit how hard it is to do that. But it is so essential that we maintain these open lines with our children to be able to talk about the things pertaining to the training of the little children. All I'm saying here is, it is so critical that grandparents keep a positive, healthy relationship with their adult children. You know, I've just seen so many families through the years, of families consisting of multiple generations, in which there's some kind of fracture between the grandparents and the parents, and that dysfunction just sort of gets passed on to the next generation. The grandkids suffer from that dysfunction as well. And when you see a family like this, it's all twisted and distorted, and people are shouting and screaming at one another, refusing to talk to one another, nobody is happy. And everybody's going to pay a price for that. As a grandparent, you can do an awful lot toward fixing that. And it starts with swallowing a big dose of humility yourself. And open your ears and your minds to be able to listen to what your adult child is saying to you with regard to the training and the instruction of the little ones. You'd be surprised how, if you take this approach, how much you can find that your adult child, the parents of the grandchildren, and yourself have in common. You have a common mission, a common objective that you're trying to achieve. Work together as partners to talk through these issues and these problems and come to some kind of common understanding as to what the best course of action would be. Be a support to your parents, rather to the parents of your grandchildren, rather than a hindrance to them. Second principle, talk to your grandkids about the serious issues of life. I need to be careful to explain what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying lecture your grandkids. For most grandkids, most kids in general, when they sense they're being lectured, what's the automatic response? Tune out. I'm not going to listen. And so as grandparents, we have to be very, very careful, very diplomatic about how we do this. But there is a way to teach your grandchildren about the important issues of life without it becoming a lecture. And I think Moses talks about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. In this context, he's talking about parents and their children, but the principle applies to grandparents as well. So put on your grandparent cap and think about what Moses is saying here. Speaking again of God's law, he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now you'll notice the language here is describing various scenarios that just occur in the normal routine flow of life. It's not some kind of an organized, formal session in which, okay, son, we need to sit down and have a talk. And here's the topic of our discussion today. That's not what Moses is describing. When you rise up, when you walk by the way, when you sit down in the house, they're just the normal activities of life. Toss in little tidbits of wisdom and information. And let me give you some examples of how that can work. Most of us who are older have a lifetime of experiences that we can look back on and from which we have learned a lot. And many of those experiences we're not particularly proud of, right? You know, it'd be good for your grandkids to hear you talk about those things. Now, here's what I did when I was a kid about your age, and I'm not proud of this. But let me tell you the story of what I did and how it turned out. And a little child will just be fascinated to hear about what life was like back in your childhood. And perhaps somewhere in all of that kind of casual talk and conversation, a connection will form in this child's mind that, well, you know, I can kind of relate to that. And now I have Grandma or Grandpa telling me how they dealt with it, for better or for worse. I can learn from that. Now, the child may not articulate it in that fashion, but what you are doing in having those kind of little informal conversations with your grandchildren, you're helping that child form a vision, a panoramic vision of how the world works. And you have just done your part to fit a little piece of the puzzle into that big puzzle board. This is how the world works. This is how to get the most out of life. Here's how to avoid the bad things of life. And those little casual conversations that you have like that, whether you're sitting with your grandson on the bank of the river fishing, sharing stories, or as a grandmother, you're with one of your granddaughters in the kitchen baking one day. Just talk about things. Bring these little subjects up. And you'd be surprised how much those kinds of conversations can help influence the decision-making of your grandchildren as they go forward in their lives. More than anything else, what you're doing is helping your grandchildren see you as a source of wisdom. There may come a point later in life, perhaps in their adolescent years, when tensions with their parents are just almost at the breaking point and they need somebody to talk to. Wouldn't it be great if they saw you as a kind, sympathetic ear, someone they could come to and talk to and pour their soul out to, knowing they're going to get good advice? You can go a long way toward creating that kind of atmosphere by the way you talk to your grandchildren in their younger days. Principle number three, something that grandparents can do to help make the grandparenting adventure a positive one, and that is to promote strong family traditions. Look again in our text in Psalm 128. We were looking at verse 3 earlier. Do you remember how it read? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Now, why would the author here describe a pleasant, happy family relationship in terms of what's happening around the table? This is the dinner table, right? So you can just envision in this verse, here's the family sitting around the table, mother, father, children. They're happy, they're joyful, they're cheerful. It's a good, positive relationship they have with each other. But why around the table? Well, you've probably experienced this in your own life, have you not? Think of family reunions. Think of holiday traditions, which usually involve the family getting together and there's a big, sumptuous meal spread out on the table. Think about the opportunities for get-togethers with other families. Again, the food is spread out on the table, and it's this sharing of a meal that oftentimes provides the central focal point for the relationship among those people who are surrounding that table. And these traditions oftentimes are established by the grandparents in their younger days and are continued on through the years, and the children and the grandchildren continue to enjoy and look forward to those traditions. And it's the grandparents who are the guardians of those traditions, the protectors, the maintainers, the ones that keep it going. You know, we're about to come into the holiday season here in a few weeks. It'll be Thanksgiving, and perhaps a lot of you will be getting together with family at the table, the carved turkey and everything, Christmas shortly thereafter. And how much do children look forward to those occasions? And why? Now, I know Christmas, there's the toys and the gifts and all of that, but in addition to that, there's something else going on here. It's the fact that family is together. And there's a spirit of community, of fellowship, of friendship, of connectedness that we all have. And as the family grows up, and the kids grow up, and they scatter to the four winds, and they have their children, and they begin to scatter, whenever you can have an occasion for all those kids and grandkids to come back together and reconnect with one another, it's a positive thing, it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. It helps keep those relationships alive and vibrant. And it's the family traditions that grandparents can play a huge role in maintaining that allow those kinds of traditions to persevere. And then finally, a fourth principle that grandparents can practice that will help their role as grandparents be a positive one. And that is, we need to learn to live what we preach. Grandparents need to live what we preach. Bildad, the friend of Job, said in Job 8, verse 13, the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Now let that little nugget sink in. The hope of the hypocrite shall perish. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Well, even hypocrites have dreams. They have ambitions. They have things they would like to see unfold in their future. They have dreams, like all of us do, right? But the problem is, the hypocrite is, in the same time that he's harboring these dreams, he's destroying the very foundation by which those dreams can ever be fulfilled, because he is a hypocrite. He's not living that which he professes. Do you want your children, your grandchildren, do you want them to be happy? Do you want them to see their relationship with you as a positive thing, something they look forward to, they enjoy being around you? Do you want that in your grandchildren? Well, the answer obviously is yes, but what if you are a cranky, obnoxious, sour, negative old person? Have you ever known one like that? Maybe not necessarily one of your grandparents, but just an older person that was just so down all the time, always complaining. It just makes you uncomfortable being around somebody like that. Guess what? Your grandchildren don't like being around old people like that either. Don't you be that person. I don't care what kind of life experiences you've had. Your grandchildren do not deserve to have that kind of grandparent in their life. It's much more effective for on the grandchildren's side for them to have a grandparent that is kind, patient, optimistic, cheerful, pleasant, happy, supportive. Grandchildren will flock to a grandparent like that. If you want your grandchildren to flock to you, to enjoy being in your presence, that's the kind of person you need to be. Now, maybe you've had some experiences in your life that make it very difficult to be that kind of person. That's a whole separate lesson that we can't get into here, but let me just suggest for your consideration, now, that's on you. You've got to fix that. Whatever it takes, whatever counseling is involved, whatever apologies need to be offered on your part, whatever forgiveness you need to extend, whatever you can do to fix that kind of personality is what you're going to have to do if you're going to have a good, healthy relationship with your grandchildren. So let's review very quickly. Four principles on how to do the grandparenting thing right. Communicate with the parents. Talk to your grandkids about the serious issues of life, faith and morals and so forth. Promote strong, healthy family traditions. And live what we preach. Don't be a hypocrite. Now, if you look at those four items, don't they look familiar? Aren't these the same principles that we would teach to parents in raising their children? Forget the grandchildren now, just parents dealing with their children. Aren't these principles that apply in that setting as well? Do you see where I'm going with this? If you want to have a healthy relationship with your grandchildren, guess where it starts? In the raising of your children. Now, see, you middle-aged parents right here, when we started out this morning, you probably thought, grandparenting, well, I'm a long way from that. I can kind of check out of this lesson. That was a mistake. Because developing a healthy relationship with whatever grandchildren you might have somewhere down the road starts with the kind of relationship you're developing with your own children right now today. If you can learn how to practice these principles in the raising of your children, you're going to be set. Your children are more than likely going to grow up to be healthy, happy, well-adjusted children with children of their own, and those little children are going to benefit from these same principles in play in their lives. And that's what is going to make the relationship between you and your grandchildren so golden, so precious. But it starts now, today. and the relationship that you have with your children. You know, Jesus, while he was here upon this earth, he had a special place in his heart for the little ones. You recall the story that's found in Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. We're told that they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The disciples thought, these little kids are just a nuisance, they're a waste of time, don't bother the master with them. But when Jesus saw what these disciples were doing, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And then this verse, he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus saw little children, some people's grandchildren. He saw them as something that was special and deserved his attention. And being a grandparent is the closest thing we'll ever come to experiencing what he felt about children. Do you want to be a good grandparent? Do you want to be a good parent? Would you be happy with just being a good person? That's the challenge that all of us face in this life, isn't it? It all comes back to looking at Jesus Christ and what he taught, the principles that he gave us by which we can build our lives upon. If you're here this morning, you recognize that you need Jesus Christ in your life in a way you've never needed him before. We're here to help you in any way that we can. Won't you come and express your need as we stand and sing the invitation song?